Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, August 14th, 2025. Man, August, halfway through the summer, I'm from Florida. That means absolutely nothing. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, to be found on thechairshot.com and all of your favorite podcasting platforms. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. I'm going to go around the room here and introduce this cast of characters that I've got here on this show each and every week, starting with the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He's the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling podcast. He is the king of the power nap, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel. And he's got his cat running around like crazy tonight. Rob, sir, I know you've had a shit week. How are you, buddy?
Well, I'm doing better. So Monday, I was working at home Monday, and I'm sitting in the chair, and there a couple of bees had gotten in the house, and this one bee decided that they wanted to do a kamikaze dive bomb on my right arm, and so I saw it coming down, and then I felt the sting. And I was like, oh, shit. And yeah, and so then it's been swollen for the past couple of days. I've been basically, my right arm has been like swimming in Benadryl cream, and it's just, it's better than it was, but it's still like very red and itchy, and yeah.
Well, Purple Heart's in the mail, buddy.
It's coming, yeah. My friend. Have you ever been, is that your first time ever being stung?
Yeah, I think like there've been a couple of times where like the bee landed on me and it felt like it might have stung me, but this was real.
Yeah,
this was real.
Yeah, no, the couple times I've been stung, I used to mow lawns when I was a kid. That was how I earned money, and I'd get into something and there'd be like wasps or something. And the first time I ever got stung, man, it was like somebody put a cigarette out on my tricep. Hurt like a son of a bitch. Last but never, ever, ever least, he is the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, Bucky's tag team partner. He hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud 9, the man with the bionic back, destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, I hope you're having a better week than Rob.
Yeah, I am. I mean, today, this week has been good. I got a, I learned a whole bunch of new stuff at work, and I feel a whole bunch more useful because I took to it like a duck, like a fish to water, and it was awesome. So I'm riding high this week.
Excellent, excellent. I am up and down this week. I'm going to share a little bit of personal stuff. I was going to wait for a couple months to kind of share something that I'm going through, and I've already talked to the guys about it on one of the kickoff shows a few weeks ago. About the last year or so, I've been kind of feeling up and down with my health. Just haven't felt right, just kind of blah, and haven't been able to work out the way I want to, and just a whole bunch of series of things. Finally got back in with a doctor about a month ago. And, he ran some labs, did all the stuff, did all the testing. And long story short, I am now type 2 diabetic. that was, and it didn't come as a huge surprise to me because the family history, it comes from both sides. My mom's dad was a brittle diabetic, and, you know, then my dad's side of the family, you know, both, you know, one of my brothers is diabetic, my dad, it's, so it was coming. I knew it was coming. And so I've spent my life trying to maintain my health. If you follow me on the app formerly known as Twitter, I have posted workout videos and workout pictures and post-workout pictures and things like that. So I've always kind of taken care of myself out of fear for ever developing diabetes because I watched what my grandfather went through. I watched it just, it basically killed him. I mean, the guy died at the age of 66, which is horrifically young. And I never remember him being healthy as a kid. So I was always terrified of diabetes. And I know some people who live with it are like, it's diabetes, man. You just do what you do. And for me, it was a personal thing. And when I talk to the guys about it, if you know anything about diabetes, there's the daily blood sugar, which is either your fasting or your after blood sugar. You do the little finger stick and the monitor and everything. But then they do something called the hemoglobin A1C, which is like a three-month average of your blood sugar over a period of time. And they consider, depending on your training as a doctor, anything under like 6.3 and below, 6.3 and below, they kind of consider you pre-diabetic. Anything over 6.5, they start treating you normally. You know, most doctors will. My A1C was 9.5, and I like literally almost shit myself. I'm like, how the fuck did I end up with a hemoglobin A1C of 9.5? Like, how did this happen to me? You know, and I start taking stock of, you know, my lifestyle. You know, we don't eat poorly. We eat relatively balanced meals. But I haven't been working out like I normally do. And we had been indulging a bit more. And when you pile all that on with family history, it adds up. It's a cumulative thing. And that's just kind of what happened to me. It all landed on me at once. And, you know, thankfully, you know, I finally got in with my doctor and had the labs done. But for that first week or so, and like I said, I talked to my boys, and you guys may remember the conversation. I was pretty down on myself. Like, this depressed me. And probably more so than it should have because, you know, like I said, lifestyle being the biggest factor, eventually my body was just going to stop doing what it's supposed to do, and this was going to happen. But when I finally got past, and Jason and Rob both gave me a good pep talk, and I appreciate the hell out of both of them for that. After I finally got out of my own head, and I cut cold turkey on so much shit. Like, I have not had even a morsel of processed sugar, no processed carbs. I haven't had a sip of alcohol in almost 6 weeks. I haven't been monitoring my blood sugars daily. I need to get a glucometer for that. The one I had is old and not really trustworthy anymore, and I think the test strips are out of date anyway. But so I feel better, but it's a struggle because I like my sweets, and my office is no help because every week there's cake or muffins, or that somebody brought in little mini Bundt cakes the other day. Oh yeah, dude, it's like a horrible thing. And of course there's the snack machine down the hall that's got Snickers and M&Ms, and you know, with when you're monitoring your blood sugar, and especially when you get on the medication and you're still trying to get your diet used to the medication doing what it's supposed to do, you can have peaks and valleys with your blood sugar. And I had a really bad valley Sunday. My girlfriend and I were out and we were in the store, and I'd had breakfast, and it wasn't an overly filling breakfast. But I ate it probably around 7 o'clock. She and I were out and about around 9 or 10. And at 10 o'clock, my blood sugar bottomed. Like, to the point where I thought I was going to pass out. And I didn't have any snacks on me. Like, I had not worked on all of this, like, as a science. So I had no snacks. It was awful, awful experience. But, yeah. So, like, this week particularly, because somebody brought in birthday cake and all this shit. And I'm just like, oh, God. I'm dying here. So I've been trying to stuff my face with vegetables and things that I think will hold me over. So yeah, this week was a little trying. I think I may have even messaged you guys about it in the group chat. But yeah, it's just been a wild ride the last few weeks as I try to get this under control. So that's everybody's week. I did have something that I wanted to talk about here tonight. I know this is a wrestling podcast, and we are going to get to a little bit of wrestling here tonight. But we did want to shake things up a little bit. And I want to start with, first of all, speaking of health-related issues, if you recognize the following sound, you better go schedule your colonoscopy.
You've got mail.
And now that we're logged in, let's talk about
not
that.
Not gonna lie, I just got a little misty eyed.
Did you? Yeah, me too. Me too. I was sitting there. I saw on the app formerly known as Twitter, America Online, after 34 years on September 30th, which is actually my middle brother's birthday, is shutting down its servers permanently for their dial up internet, which until 3 days ago, I didn't even know still existed. And like Jason said, and for the people in this podcast and probably more than a few people that listen to this show, this means something, man. This is truly the end of an era. That noise was the sound of my young adulthood. And it's crazy to think about. And I was sitting there thinking about that. I was like, okay, God, 34 years. 1991. I graduated high school in 91, and that blows. Like, time is crazy anymore as it is. Ever since COVID, and we've talked about this on this show, I think Jason described it as time is a flat circle. But I just think of...
No. Time is fake.
It is. It's fake anymore. It's a construct. But I think about that, and those days, like, we thought we'd entered a whole new dimension. Just going from, literally, when I was in high school, there was none of this. You know, from 88 to 91, it was literally just nothing like that. Like, there were people that used what, I think a friend of mine, his brother used something called, they called it the Guild. And you used a phone modem, and you could log on, and you could do things. But it wasn't like the internet as we know it now. But for us to be there at the birth of all that, it's just wild to me. Rob, what are your thoughts here?
Oh, man. I remember when we first got, like, dial-up internet and, you know, you had to, if somebody tried to pick up the phone and use it while you were doing stuff on the computer, it just shot everything to hell. And I remember I was at AOL Instant Messenger and using that and, like, talking to three and four people at the same time, during the day. And what was really funny, this is a funny story, a buddy of mine, everybody used to talk to several people at the same time. And one buddy of mine accidentally, like, he was talking to his wife while he was talking to me. And he typed the wrong message in the wrong thing. And I was like, dude, you sent that to the wrong person.
Sir?
hey, you're my friend and all, but, you know, you don't be asking me for that kind of stuff, okay?
Wow. Well, we were all like cavemen playing with fire or, you know, inventing the wheel or something, man. We didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah. I mean, and, those were days, man. And that's like this whole internet stuff. That's where it started, man. And it is something that, I guess it's finally, you know, it's no longer useful now because people who do, you know, now some places still don't have, you know, reliable high speed internet, but I imagine most places do now. And there aren't enough, the places who don't, there aren't enough customers there to sustain this kind of thing. So it is time for them to shut it down, but it is definitely the end of an era. And, you know, but, you know, thanks for the memories and for the good times.
It really was a time to be alive. It really, and Jason, yeah. You're the youngest of the bunch here. You're a few years younger, about a decade younger than me and Rob. So what were your earliest memories with the America Online?
That was it, man. That was my first exposure to the internet, is we got a computer with a 56K modem, so we have to get an internet provider, and, you know, kids, it was not the same. You did not call your local cable company or whatever. I'll just leave it at that. Mom got a disc in the mail that we then put on the computer, and we were online. And that actually is the birthplace of Jedi Fett. That's where my screen name for everything, you know, that's where you can find me on Blue Sky, on the app formerly known as Twitter, you know, at Jedi Fett. And that's where it came from, because I was 12 years old and needed a screen name, and I had used enough of AOL that to know that I wanted to hang out in the Star Wars role-playing, like, game rooms. So I was like, all right, well, I need to be a dude. What's more badass than Boba Fett? A Jedi. What if Boba Fett was a Jedi? Boom. You got it. Perfect. This is it. And then I've used that nickname for the rest of my life. So anyway, and then, like Rob said, like, that's where it all started, like, game FAQs. Like, where you would go look up on, you would get 400-page .txt text files of how to beat a video game. There was none of these, like, you know, fancy graphics and pictures and, wow, screenshots? Whoa, yeah. Get away with your sorcery. So, yeah, America Online folding its 56K coverage. That hurts, because, again, that's where I started. That's where Jedi Fett was born. So it's a rough day. Rough day.
I used to go by, well, I've gone by Tats Deej forever, and that was my first screen name. It was because right around the time I got my first computer, because I was poor and broke, and we didn't have one in the house. And so probably around 94 or 95, I think I got my first computer on my own that I bought with my own money. And it had a 14.4 modem. It didn't even have the 56.
Woo!
It had 14.4.
Not even a 28.6. Wow.
Nope, not even a 28. It had a 14.4. I started with a man. Brother, good luck trying to load up X with a 14.4 modem. Good luck trying to load up X with a 56.6. but, yeah, that's where I started, and I was Tats Deej, and then everything. And because that was also around the time I started getting tattoos, and I went from, like, no tattoos to, like, 5 tattoos in, like, 6 months. And in my head, I was like, you know what? I'm going to be tatted from head to toe. They call me Deej. I've got tattoos. Tats Deej. Wham. Slam it together. And I was Tats Deej on any form of social media for, I mean, even now, you know, since that I have, you know, a couple things left over, they're still Tats Deej. I think my Instagram is that. And so, yeah, just it's crazy to think. But what fascinated me was, again, the world Rob and I grew up in, and Jason to a slightly lesser degree. If you wanted to talk to somebody, say, in California or England, you know, it was expensive as shit to pick up the phone and dial long distance and pay long distance or international charges. And then all of a sudden, the entire world, like overnight, the entire world has opened up to us. You know, and I can talk to people from all over the planet. I found that so fascinating, and it just was just wild, like just mind-blowing. And then here we are, you know, 34 years later, I'm on a wrestling podcast video chatting with a couple of guys who I met over the internet. You know, it's just wild that our generation birthed that. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's because, well, since we talk about internet handles, mine came from, I was in college when all the stuff started going, and I was a fan of, like, a lot of people my age. And if you were a rap music fan, we were a fan of some Wu-Tang Clan, and my favorite member of the group was the GZA, also known as the Genius. That is where Rob the Genius came from. And also, I do think I'm smart of people, yes. But, so I thought it was a fitting moniker. And so I have been that ever since. It's been going on 30 years now. But that's, you know, again, from internet, AOL chat room stuff and everything, that's where it started. And Yeah, here we are. I mean, because look, I remember, look, if you met somebody at summer camp who lived in some other state or something, you would try to write each other letters to keep in touch, okay? Or send postcards or something, right, in the mail. Now, again,
well, Rob, put it this way. What we're doing right now was limited to sci-fi when we were kids.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was like Star Trek kind of stuff, you know? And
we're in our houses, and I have my video camera off, but because I've used my phone. Okay, but I'm using my phone, and You guys are using your computers. We're all looking, talking to each other. Like, this is sci-fi stuff when we were 12.
Yeah, I mean, this was like, I mean, it was sci-fi or spy TV show kind of stuff. And, but, you know, that's where it started. And now we're doing this. And yeah, AOL
was the Jabroni can do this.
Yeah. And, you know, AOL was the very, you know, was one of the earliest iterations of it.
Yeah, did you guys ever go to the WWF AOL site? Like, did you ever use that, Rob?
Heck yeah.
I didn't. No, I did go to, like, the earliest version of their website, yes. But okay. I don't remember, like, going to the AOL site.
Oh, that was always fun, man. You should go to AOL and it would be Vince McMahon.
Eric Bischoff used to do, like,
there was a WCW one. I was in that bitch. Let's go.
Yeah. Eric Bischoff used to do like a chat every week during the Monday Night Wars when he was in charge, and yes,
you'd log on to the WWF one and it'd be Vince McMahon right there on the main page. Welcome to the WWF on America Online. It just popped me every time. It was hilarious. You go in there for, you know, kayfabe news and, you know, what's coming up in the next. At the time, pay-per-views, and it was and they had chats in there. You could go in and chat with other wrestling fans. It was the earliest iteration of what would become the internet wrestling community, and it was I was pretty heavily entrenched in that for a little while. So yeah, man.
It's a dark day.
It is. It's a, you know, as all things, you know, good things do come to an end, and that was just a little fond memory of my life and life of so many people that are in our age bracket that, you know, went from none of that to, like I said, literally almost overnight having access to the world and access to a wealth of information. And as you know, now here we are 34 years later, and probably 90% of what you see online is bullshit now, but not knowing any better, you saw it, you lived it, you believed it. You know, if you saw news like wrestling, let's just take wrestling news. You know, since we are a wrestling podcast, somebody would throw some shit out there. You're like, holy crap, this is on the internet. So this has got to be new. I saw it on America Online. And so, yeah, now here we are. It's like, you know, somebody could tell me that, you know, Seth Rollins faked his knee injury and I'd be like, oh, bullshit. You know? It's just crazy, man. It really is.
Let the record show. Let the record show.
Here he goes.
Yeah.
I was on to you, Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Anyway, man, just wanted to kick that around with you guys. I thought that might make a nice little nostalgic conversation piece there. America Online shutting down after 34 years, officially September 30th. Goodbye to an era, goodbye to a legend. And definitely, thank you for the good times and the memories. Just really good stuff. So,
goodbye. Hey, goodbye. So long. Good night to the original Jedi Fett. Mwah. I love you, buddy. Thank you for everything.
That little high school, probably high school age, right?
My wife, obviously, by the way, didn't want me to share that her screen name was Bubblicious something. Like, I think it was 12:50. Well, whatever her birthday is, which I'm not going to say out loud, but whatever.
Right.
But anyway, Bubblicious, that was my wife.
Crazy time.
Everyone had an embarrassing screen name. It was a better time.
Yeah, we all did silly stuff. So.
Yes.
Spent a lot of time. Do you guys ever hang out in the chat rooms themselves? Like, not just like the AOL Instant Messenger, but the chat rooms?
No, I didn't do this.
I did every now and then.
Back before, that was like, you know, people did like full blown like role playing, like the kind you see on message boards and stuff now. That was happening in AOL chat rooms. Like, that was the kind of, like, role-playing games without dice, just basically games of imagination and storytelling, and cooperative storytelling. It was just a fascinating, fascinating time.
Yeah. I was part of, again, because I got kind of deep into what was the earliest stages of the internet wrestling community. Guys used to run, like, fantasy wrestling leagues, almost like a role-playing game, and they would have, like, these internet wrestling promotions, and you could create your own character, and you'd send it into whoever the quote-unquote booker was, and everybody was on his email list, and he'd send out this global email and tell you what the card was, and then he would sit there and, you know, you'd have to role play and send, like, these emails as to, you know, cutting promos and all this shit. It was actually pretty, some of them were pretty elaborate, some of them were rather juvenile. And he would send out a card, like, he would send out, like, the schedule, like, we would have a TV taping here and a pay-per-view there, and you'd do your role play and you'd be in feuds and things like that. And it was absolutely ridiculous, but it was also time well spent. And another good memory from the America Online era. So guys, I think we can kick that down the road there. Do we have anything else here that, any topic at all? Like I said, we're just kind of kicking things around, shooting from the hip and calling into the ring.
Well, I guess this weekend I am going on some of a correspondent trip here.
That's right. We can talk a little bit of wrestling now.
Yeah. This weekend TNA is coming to Baltimore, and they're coming to an arena that is like 15 minutes from my house. And so I decided why the hell not. And actually, they're going to be here two nights. Tomorrow night is one of their kind of B pay-per-views, Emergence, and then Saturday they're doing a TV taping, so I'm going to both of those. And I've never seen TNA live and in person. I was not watching wrestling during kind of the previous heyday of TNA with, you know, AJ Styles and Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe and whatnot. I was not watching any of it back then, so I completely missed that whole era. But and then for the last several years, they had really downsized because they just, you know, they couldn't just, you know, they just didn't have the wherewithal to, you know, cover as many bases as they used to. But now that their things are doing better there, and they're expanding and they're traveling to more places, they're coming here. And so I figured this would be an excellent time to see them in person. And, you know, they're going to the arena that Ring of Honor used to come to around here, so I'm pretty familiar with it. So I'm looking forward to having a good time here the next couple of nights. And just one match in particular that I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night, and that is for the X Division title, Leon Slater against Cedric Alexander. And
oh, that's going to cook, man.
Yeah, I'm imagining that's probably going to be the best match on the whole show.
I seriously might just get the show because of that.
I might order it, too. Those are relatively cheap shows, right?
Yeah, I mean, the B shows are cheaper. They're not, you know, the main ones like, you know, Slammiversary and Bound for Glory are like the full pay-per-view price. But, yeah, the B shows like this, I think they're like $10 or $15 cheaper. And if you have TNA Plus, of course, you get all of the stuff, so.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I've put over TNA Plus plenty of times before, and I will do it again, you know, because if rumor is true, you know, TNA may be on the Peacock at some time in the future. But until that actually happens, I do if you are interested on TNA, I do recommend getting TNA Plus. They have all the archive stuff. So if you want to go watch all the, you know, AJ Styles and Samoa Joe stuff, it's there.
Yeah, if you're a wrestling fan at all, like a hardcore, not just a casual, that era of TNA is must watch television. So no, that's pretty cool that you're going to the show. I mean, I think it's awesome that you're going and just, you know, getting out of the house and doing that. Two, I mean, how can you not go to a big time wrestling show like that that's 15 minutes away? Like, that's so convenient.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, just if you're a wrestling fan, just no matter, you know, what your preferred company is, you know, if there's something that close and you can make it and the tickets are doable for you, we recommend go. Even like, if you have no idea what's going on there, just go anyway. It's, I mean, if you're a wrestling fan, it's a good time.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, I've talked at great length about the NXT house shows because my town, the next town over, is in the Loop. And, you know, the drive is 15 minutes away. And, you know, my girlfriend is the most casual of casual wrestling fans, like to the point where she barely even watches unless she comes in and looks over my shoulder. I've taken her to several of those, and every single time she's had a good time. She's found something about it that's enjoyable. There's just something different about being at a live wrestling show. You know, you can watch it on TV and it's one thing, but to go there and feel the energy of the crowd, to just immerse yourself in it completely, totally different experience.
Yeah, and honestly, sometimes it's fun to go to a wrestling show where, you know, where you're not going there and having to do analysis, or, you know, or you're not, you know, where you, because look, when we go to WWE stuff, you know, look, we do a podcast that is mainly centered around WWE stuff. So going to a WWE show, it's kind of, it's, you know, you kind of put your analyst hat on a lot of times or whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, when you go to a show where you're not embroiled in it that kind of way, I mean, it is fun sometimes, because then you can just watch what's going on and you don't have to think about what it all means or whatever, you know.
Yeah, you just go, you unplug, and you do this the way you're supposed to do it. Just watch what you're watching as it's presented and enjoy it. And that's so liberating. Like, it really is. So, yeah, that'll be fun. And then you two are planning, what's up, Bound for Glory?
Yes.
Yeah, it's up in Lowell, so Rob is committed. He's going to make the trip up, and we're going to go for my birthday, because it's the day before, so.
Ah, that would have been a great one for the three of us to get together and go to a show. I just, like I told you guys, I've got a lot of stuff going on between now
still
and
time,
the end of the
you
year.
Sell one of the kids.
What's up?
Still time. You could sell one of the kids.
Sell one of the kids. I couldn't get anything for them. They're too old
sell
now.
Sell one of the children.
I'll start donating plasma, pal.
There you go. Have the kids donate plasma.
Yeah. Bring me some rent money.
Tonight, now you make me think of the Blues Brothers when they're in the restaurant and John Belushi looks over at the guy and he's like, "How much for your wife? I want to buy your wife."
Been forever, so I need to watch it. I haven't seen that movie in so damn long. My God, I've forgotten most of it.
Oh yeah, I haven't watched it in a long time either. But it's, yeah, I mean, and look, and some of the jokes now, you listen like, oh, that's you probably shouldn't say that. But, you
know. Isn't that really true about most of the comedies from our youth, Rob? Like, you go back and watch some of it now, and you're like, oh my.
I mean now. Oh, well, no, there are levels to it. Like, there's some stuff where it's just like, okay, you probably shouldn't do that. But then there's some other ones where you're just like, oh my God, like, really? Like, some of those, like, John Hughes movies, they're like super rapey. And,
oh yeah.
And, yeah, and it's just like, okay, what made y'all think that was a good idea?
Yeah, that was such a wild time. And the 80s, I don't want to go down
like,
I don't want to turn.
Weird. The dudes in, what's it, Weird Science? They're freaking deviants.
Yeah, used a computer. Yes. Since we're talking about the internet and computers and things like that, they used the computers and the internet to make their own ideal, overly sexualized woman.
Yes.
Also, weren't they sending like robot like cameras into locker rooms and stuff at the beginning of the movie?
You might have been thinking about Revenge of the Nerds. Where they set up cameras.
Also, again, not okay, guys.
Yeah, no, definitely, in hindsight, definitely, that scene from Revenge of the Nerds, not okay.
So. It wasn't just wrestling, kids. It was everywhere.
It was.
But anyway, moving on.
The industry, the entertainment industry in general. So, yeah. I'll tell you what. We are a wrestling podcast. There's a bit of wrestling stuff that we want to kick around tonight. But before we do, why don't we take a break? This is going to probably be a short episode tonight. We're going to take a quick break because teams, I could go on a whole rant about teams right now. Only gives us a certain amount of time. We're not going to have enough time to get into what we want. So we're going to go to break and come back and talk a little bit of wrestling stuff. We're going to kick around a couple things. Before we do, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options that are available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcast, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We've got a t-shirt there. It's a pretty cool style, very indicative of your inner e-drone. It'll scream WWE drone to the masses. The Mindless Wrestling Podcast t-shirt will. Go check one out. Pick one up. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style. The starving artist on these shows will thank you if you pick one up at all. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Going to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of wrestling.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
And we are back. Again, thank you for listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We are going to talk a little bit of wrestling on this half of the show. The news has been a little slow, but there are a couple little nuggets we want to talk about. The biggest thing I think we want to kick around right now is this really just head-scratching situation with Karrion/Killer Kross and Scarlett. We've kicked around Karrion Kross for months and months, probably a couple of years on this podcast, and it really felt like just a swing and a miss. Every time they started to do something with this guy, when he started off in NXT, he got injured. When he came back from being injured, he just never felt like the same guy. We won't even talk about that disastrous initial main roster debut with the Gimp gimmick and whatever Vince had him doing. We won't even discuss that. But moving back to, he got released about 3 years ago. Triple H brought him back. You know, once, you know, Vince was gone and Hunter was back in control of creative, this was, Kross was part of the wave of people that Paul Levesque brought back. And again, everything just seemed like a false start. And then in the last 6 months to a year, he finally started to find a lane. Like, he started, you know, he was more active online, like on Twitter and Instagram, and he started doing these little vignettes, just stuff he was self-producing, trying to get himself out there and make himself noticed, because a lot of times these guys have to do that. If creative's got nothing for you, and a good example here was the Fashion Police. Tyler Breeze and Fandango had nothing going on creatively, so they started taking it upon themselves to do these little vignettes with the Fashion Files. Suddenly, it's on TV every week, and it's a thing, and it's hot. Well, Kross took the same approach. He started cutting his own promos, doing all these little weird things, started interacting with other talent backstage, and slowly but surely, it started to catch fire. Like, suddenly, we're seeing a side of this guy's personality that they weren't putting on TV, and Rob made the statement. They're like, why aren't they putting this guy on TV? Because this guy's funny. This guy's charismatic. And then you get on TV and it's like a whole totally different dude. So they were hit or miss with that. And then it seemed like in the last
I just wanted to jump in there. They did have something when for a few months he was doing the evil Jiminy Cricket thing. Yes. And he would just come in after a conversation and be like, well, you know, this, and this. And like just absolutely fan the flames of controversy and then just walk away. That gimmick was awesome, but just it never went anywhere meaningful.
Right.
So, sorry. That's where I wanted to jump in. Because around that time, that's when I was like,
that's when it started.
Was about never it.
Yeah. Well, and then whether it started this way or it was intentional on his part or was something that the internet ran with, The running theory was anyone that Kross interacted with turned heel a short time later. So there was like, okay,
inadvertently, he did have a good run of that.
Yeah. You know, influencing people to turn to the dark side, and they listed different examples. But really, in the last 6 months or so, he's been getting a lot of TV time. You know, he was in a brief feud with AJ Styles, and then he was, you know, up until the last 2 or 3 months in a deeper feud, in a more meaningful feud with Sami Zayn. And fast forward to SummerSlam, they're on their, I think this is the rubber match at this point.
Yeah.
We've reached a point with this guy where you feel like they're pushing him. You feel like, okay, they've got it. He's on TV weekly. He's in some type of segment. They're doing something with this guy. They're finding a lane. But then he just keeps coming up short in his matches. And at first you think, okay, is this intentional? Is this part of the creative process? And we like to say on here, let it play out. Well, we kept letting it play out until the point where it's like, you can only let it play out so long before you just lose interest in an idea. And we were getting there with Cross, but it's like, okay, at some point he's got to win one here. And he just didn't. So now we're getting close to SummerSlam. The word's starting to go out because now we're privy to this information. These people's contracts are up on August 12th or whatever the date may be. And, you know, thus far they have not re-signed. They have not been offered anything. And there was so much misinformation and misdirection to the point where I firmly believed that Karrion Kross and Scarlett had quietly re-signed a while back and they just weren't saying anything for whatever reason. But now here we are, post-SummerSlam. Their contracts have apparently expired and now they're both no longer WWE contracted workers. And the whole site, and I know I skipped over a lot of things because I didn't want to sit here for an hour and burn all our time talking about Karrion Kross's entire WWE career, but the whole timeline of events is just bizarre. Like, to the point where a lot of people, myself included, started to believe that this was a work, that it was part of some bigger storyline that they were working, some bigger angle, something to do with this guy to present him as a major, huge superstar. But now, as we, you know, we're now, you know, several days post that, it doesn't seem like that's the case at all. Rob, I'll start with you. What are your thoughts here? What are you kind of surmising from all this?
It's all very bizarre because, like, ever since he came back, and he and Scarlett came back, they've done this thing repeatedly where they start setting him up for something, and then they get him to a match where he should win this match to take the next step, and then he never wins. And it's funny now, is because looking back now, as much as we kind of poo-pooed that whole feud that he and the Authors of Pain had with, you know, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, that was at least a complete arc where it had a start and a finish and everything, right? So, I mean, looking back, that was actually something where you can look at and say that, okay, at least that all made sense, right? But it's just been every time they, like, he gets to a certain point and it's like, okay, well, if they're going to do something with him, then he needs to win this one. And then he wouldn't win. And it happened several times over the last few years. And it kind of just got to the point where it was like, okay, well, why are they even bothering, right? I mean, if they're just not going to do it, like, why are they even bothering? Because, look, I mean, they released people earlier in their contracts before because they just decided that, hey, this ain't happening. And it just seemed to me like they had gotten to that point with him. That's just the way they were booking him. I was kind of like, well, if that's what it is, then what are we doing here? But then this year it looked like they were actually really trying to do something, right? And again, like, he started getting more TV time, and he wasn't wrestling that much, but at least, like, they weren't putting him in the ring and having him lose, right? Ultimately, he was starting to get to do what he's best at with those backstage things and all of that. And so they did this thing with Sammy, and they had their first match was at the Night of Champions, and that was one of those where it was like, okay, you know what? If they're going to do this, this is a big step. They can have him win this. Like, didn't have to win clean, he's a heel, right? But having him beat Sami Zayn on a PLE would be a big step if they want to actually do something with him. And then, of course, we lose us. And then they had him, you know, they did have him beat Sammy on TV. And then they're going into the match at SummerSlam, and we're back at the same boat. And I'm just kind of like, well, this is now or never time, right? If he doesn't win here, then they might have, then it is time to go, right? Whether they let him go or whether he and Scarlett just decide to move on, you know. And he doesn't win. And then his contract does run out, and their contract do run out. And I don't think this is a work, because I just look at it and I was like, okay, are we really doing all of this for a guy that you don't even want to book to be, you know, you don't even want to book to win a match on a PLE? Are they really going to do all this elaborate scheming and all of this stuff? You know, I just don't think so. Because if they were really going to push him further, then they would have done it by now. Cause look, I think Jinder Mahal, okay, back in 2017, you know, and look, this was totally a marketing thing. They were trying to make bigger inroads into the Indian market. They had Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal was exactly, you know, who you would want to be at the forefront of that, because, I mean, he had the right look. He could do promos really well and all of that. And, you know, so they decided to give him a push. And they decided to push him all the way to the top. And, you know, they did. He won matches, okay? I mean, and he had, like, he literally just been a glorified jobber a couple weeks beforehand, but they had him win a number one contenders match for the world title, and they put the Singh brothers with him so he could cheat to win, because everybody's seen him lose so much, right? And they pushed it, and he won the contenders match with their help. He won the world championship with their help. He defended the title several times with the help of the Singh brothers and, you know, Great Khali eventually. And they kept, you know, as long as they decide, as long as we're going to keep doing this, he is going to win matches.
One thing that I liked about that Jinder Mahal,
no matter what
run,
called this guy before, we are pushing him, so he is going to win these matches.
Yeah. What, real quick, one thing that I loved about the Jinder Mahal run, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, is, yeah, like, they're trying to market into India, right? And they tell 2 billion people that you're one person who is representative of your culture is an asshole. Yeah.
Wait, I mean,
the best part is, though, when they did the actual live tour in India, he was a monster babyface.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And he played as one, and like beat heels.
And
stuff
I know,
like,
that's
they
how that works at the
it.
Shows, but
yeah.
But, no, go ahead, Rob.
But my point is, they decided, you know, when they decided to do something with this guy who had been losing all of these matches, they decided to try something with him, and so they booked him to win stuff. Because if you're going to give somebody a real push, even if it's just a push to the mid card, they need to beat people. Because what do we say here? If people see you lose enough times, what are you?
A loser.
A loser.
Yeah. And so they kept booking Cross like a loser. And, you know, and look, I know that there are varied opinions about him across the internet wrestling community. Like, some people just think he's no good at all. You know, we have grown to, you know, like him a lot more here at this show. But no matter whatever you think of him, okay, if they are trying something with him, they should book him to win stuff. And they just could not bring themselves to do that for whatever reason. And, you know, I think like the Honky Tonk Man, he's an Intercontinental Champion. The whole, you know, that was improbable that somebody like him was going to win a championship. But when he did it, when they decided to do it, they booked him to win those title defenses, or, you know, or not to go out and get beat all the time. And so to me, I just constantly wondered, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I want to get to the contract stuff here in a minute, but I do want to give Jason real quick. Jason, what is your take with this?
You know, he's a loser. it sucks because he does a lot of the things that I love about wrestling really, really well. He does the weird, spooky Mortal Kombat stuff. I don't care. I love it. I think it's awesome, and that's why we watch wrestling. But he does that stuff so well, and then he goes out there and has something you can call wrestling matches, I suppose, and then it's he loses. So if this is, like, people point, like, why would he get a spot on Ariel Helwani's show if he, like, was really on the way out, and, like, they haven't made any sort of official announcement, which is weird. They haven't said, so I don't know.
I want to talk about the Ariel Helwani thing.
Plays out, but ultimately, I don't care. It's also weird for him to get on the phone, get on Ariel Helwani and be like, yeah, AEW hasn't called me. Oh, that's weird. Okay. I wouldn't say that out loud into a microphone, but do you, man. Yeah, it's just, the whole thing is just weird. And again, ultimately, I don't care. Because I don't care about Karrion Kross, because I don't believe this is the weirdest, in, like DJ said, this is the weirdest investment of resources ever if he's going to come back as some sort of monster. But barring that, I don't care.
Well, let's kick around some key. I haven't listened to the whole Ariel Helwani interview with him, and then we'll wrap this segment up. But a couple of key things that he said, like Jason said, he said AEW has not contacted me, which is a bit dubious. He also talked a little bit about, because again, there was so much misinformation. Some sides saying WWE hasn't extended an offer. Some sides saying they extended, he hasn't answered. And I say he, I mean the two of them. His side, at least with Ariel Helwani, is that they made him an offer. They did not include Scarlett in that offer. And she's, you know, obviously for the entirety of his career, as we know him as Killer Kross, has been a part of that show. So, you know, why wouldn't you want to include her in that? But the bigger thing that he said, and this is something that I want to kick around with you guys a little bit, because I think this is a part of the plot that a lot of people miss. He mentioned the workers have regular had, past tense, regular contact with Triple H, pitching ideas, being in contact. He said there was an open line of communication. He said that in more recent times, there is now a middleman. Like, you have to go to the middleman and then go to Triple H. And he's like, and the way he makes it sound was, that was implemented tertiary from Paul Levesque. Like, we need to remember, Paul Levesque is chief content officer. He does not run the show. He has a boss he has to answer to. So there are, it sounds like, because, you know, some of the things that Kross has said, he's like, I would never say that to or about Triple H. He's like, I have a great relationship with the guy. But what it sounds like is that the higher ups above Levesque have implemented a different chain of command, and you can't just go to him now. So does that open up a bigger discussion of, with these talents that are being released and or just not renewed or whatever the case may be, are these decisions that are over Triple H's head now? Like, are there people walking out the door who he's looking at going, I could use them? You know, or I had no say in that, or, you know, so this at least slightly peels back the layers a little bit of the inner workings of WWE now under TKO. And I thought that was an interesting, I don't know if you guys have seen any of the excerpts, heard any of the interview itself, but that was one of the big takeaways that I took from that.
I did not hear that part. I listened to when you were talking about how they'd offer him a contract but not one to Scarlett. I think one thing that has been clear, I mean, I think it's been clear through all of this, that Triple H absolutely did want to do something with the guy. But, I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. And
at KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I think there are probably some people there that, the TKO people don't really give a shit about, right? And also, I think, Connor might be getting pulled into some of these other meetings and whatnot now also, right? And to that end, look, and then we've kind of speculated in the Chair Shot group chat before that there will come a day where Triple H will get, we kind of pulled upstairs and, Sean would eventually be running things or could be Sean and Cody one day or Sean and Cody and CM Punk or something like that, right? I mean, that's been kind of like a long-term speculation kind of thing. But I do think if that's true, that's something they need to get a handle on. Because now, and as we know, some people get the middleman, some people do get to talk to him, right? Depending on who you are. I guess if I'm in his shoes, I guess my biggest frustration would be is, I just want y'all to decide, okay? If y'all don't want to do this, then, let's just. If you want to pay me to hang around, fine. But if not, if you're going to end up letting me go anyway, and you don't really want to do anything with me like that, and you don't want to push me so far, then just let me go now, right?
Yeah.
If I were in his place, I could see his frustration and just not having a clear picture on what exactly it is they want to do with me. Because normally, if you're on the road to being let go, they don't even put you on TV, right? I mean, they just kind of put you on ice for those last few months, right? So it's just, it's very bizarre. They don't think it just seems like they don't think enough of to really go so far with. And this is just a lot of activity for somebody that they never really were fully committed to one way or the other,
And interestingly enough in all this, as I'm sitting here looking at the WWE shop, Karrion Kross shirts are still available. His merchandise is still available on the website. And he, at one point, was a top seller in T-shirts for, a pocket of time. It's not like this was a sustained thing. But there has been a movement from a very vocal section of fans that want them to do more with the guy. And, obviously, with his merchandise still being on the website, I think where we're at with things and why he probably mentioned that he has not heard from AEW is that there's may still be hope from his side and maybe theirs that he'll accept whatever offer they put out there and just go with it. And or he's countered and he's waiting to hear back. I think there may be an active negotiation. Now, he has already put out, because he is a free agent, he's already sent out his booking information and he's taking bookings currently. But that can all change, as it often does in the wrestling business. You're taking bookings, and then you get the call and you got to call people and say, hey, look, I can't take the booking now. That happens, across the board in independent wrestling. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I just, like I said, bizarre. Bizarre is the only word I can use to describe this entire situation, because it's not like most other releases. Like, there have been times where people have either been released flat out or their contracts have expired and they weren't renewed in the middle of very odd TV positions. Like, we, in our private chat, we mentioned Shotzi and Gigi Dolin were in a little faction on NXT that was catching steam, and then both of them were gone. Aleister Black was getting ready to enter a program with Big E. He kicked Big E into the Shadow Realm and then was gone the next week. So it's not unheard of for WWE to do stuff like that. It just, this situation is just weird. It's had some weird twists and turns and a lot of stuff that doesn't make any sense. We'll keep an eye on it and see where it goes. Want to give Rob the floor here real quick. Rob wants to bring up a frequent flyer on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, Chelsea Green, deserving of more flowers. Rob, go for it.
Yeah, because, last Friday, so they had this thing on SmackDown where it was Alexa Bliss's birthday, and her tag team partner decided to, you know, give her a birthday present and a birthday cake out in the ring, you know. And as you know, if anyone watches professional wrestling, you know, if they wheel a cake out there, somebody is going into the cake. Right? And, you know, in our little chat, somebody asked, like, okay, well, who's going to come out here? And there's only one name that came to my mind, and that was Chelsea Green. And of course, what happens? She comes out there and she interrupts the celebration, and, you know, that we end up with a match, and during the match, you know, she has Charlotte down, and she calls for her, you know, Piper and for Albers, and says, and to bring the cake in the ring, because she's gonna shove Charlotte's face into the cake. And of course, what happens? She ends up going into the cake, of course. And, that is just classic, wacky, goofy pro wrestling fun. And, It just made me think of when the episode of Unreal where she was just talking about, like, basically she has no problem going out there and doing stuff like that, you know, to make the other people look good. And she was very just open about it. Like, look, if it gets me booked regularly, then that's what we're going to do. And now it's not that simple. Like, you have to act, like, to go out there and do that stuff. It isn't. It is a skill. Like, to go out there and
do that. You have to have comedic timing.
Because, like, anybody can go out there and just get shoved into a cake, okay? It's not, but you have to be entertaining about it. You have to, you know, and you have to do it in a way that, yes, that people will laugh at you, but then they'll still want to see you next week, right?
That falls out of science, man.
Yes. It's not, because, again, you know, being able to do that and have people not think of you as a loser, right? But they just want to see next week, see what type of fools that you're going to get yourself into next week, right? That's a skill. And she's figured it out, and she's excellent at it. And she looks, in the past year and a half, she's been one of the real brighter spots of WWE television. And because she's not afraid to go out there and do that very thing. And she is a good, and she's also a, you know, there have been other people who've done that, but she's a good enough wrestler also that she can actually go out there and have matches that involve that stuff. Like, some people can't. So, and again, she's been one of the brighter spots of WWE television for the past year or so. And it's just, to me, it's just the, anything she gets into is like a delight, because you know it's just going to be silly and funny, and, you know, she's going to find some way to be, you know, foiled again, you know. And it's just, to me, it's just good having her on WWE television. And so anytime she does something good, I just, you know, I have to highlight it.
Yeah, that episode of Unreal, regardless of what you feel about what you think that show may be doing for the business, that particular episode dedicated to Chelsea Green was really, really good. Like, I already thought she was adorable, and for all the reasons Rob said, she just lights up my TV screen. But you watch that, and you listen to her, and what that role means to her, and then for her to finally be given her flowers and be the inaugural Women's U.S. Championship, it meant everything. Like, it really, truly meant everything to her. It was a great moment in time to watch that unfold, you know, because she went from, God, okay, I keep doing all this and they're not giving me anything, to they gave her something. And it's neat to see that from that perspective. So, Jason, you got anything on Chelsea Green before we get to the last little bit here?
Yeah, forever the president in my heart, man.
Yep, absolutely. So, one last little piece of business. TNA is not the only one with a big event going on this weekend. Triple A, is it Triple Mania?
Yes.
It's Triple Mania. And this one, guys, watch this one. It's absolutely free. It's on the WWE YouTube channel, if I'm not mistaken. They did this with the last one. The feed was incredible. No lag. Absolutely a good time. I'm planning on watching it on Saturday. I don't know what time. We're not going to go down the card just because we don't have time. But what do they call their main championship, Rob? The
Mega Championship.
The Mega Championship. The Mega,
yes.
And that's a four-way dance?
Yeah.
That's Dominic Mysterio, the champion, Vikingo. Yes. Is Dragon Lee?
Yes.
And, Dragon Lee, who's the fourth guy?
Grande Americano.
That's right, Grande Americano, one of the versions of Grande Americano. Mm-hmm.
And so I really hope
it's version
during the match, and we get all three of them in the match.
Hey, at one point. What are you versions of Americano? What are you guys talking about?
There's three of them now.
Yeah, there's three Americanos now. They're all the same guy, but they're not.
What? What are you talking about? There's just one guy. The Grande Americano is the guy in the USA mask.
Now, right? I hope they pull a Killer Bees during this because that would be great.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, I hope they do. That this is the time to pull the ripcord on that joke.
Yes, you got to. They got to switch a room and get all three of them in there.
Yeah. But also, it sounds like Lola Vice is going to be there. I don't, like you said, we're not going to go down the card. I don't want to pull the card up.
Get Lola Vice in there.
Huh?
Get Lola Vice in there. El Grande Americana. Americana.
Do it with Chelsea Green.
She's in like a six-person mixed tag team.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's right.
Do it with Chelsea Verde.
Sure.
It would be freaking awesome. So, yeah, man, Triple Mania this weekend. Definitely check it out on the WWE YouTube channel. It's going to be the last show was incredible. Corey Graves... conspicuous by his, it doesn't sound like Conan is going to be doing co-hosting on this one. It sounds like it's Corey Graves, who was phenomenal on the last show. And second chair is going to be JBL, which should be interesting because he's got heat, you know, kayfabe with the AAA guys because he went down there and was, you know, clotheslining people for no apparent reason. So that's going to be a good show. I'm looking forward to it. I had a hoot with the last one, as Jason would say. So, yeah, Triple Mania this weekend, guys. Check that out. Have we got any parting thoughts before we get out of here? Because we are actually flowing from this show right into another one. If you're so inclined, go look for the Earnestly Speaking podcast. We're opening the forbidden door here. We're kicking it wide open. So the entirety of the Mindless Wrestling podcast will be on with Ernest. We're doing a watch-along. We're going to be doing that here just shortly after we record this. Before we get out of here, Jason, you got anything?
No, I am good. I think we covered it all, my friends. Slow week, but it's always good to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a fun little walk down memory lane and talking some wrestling, as always. Rob, any final thoughts from you?
No, just looking forward to this weekend. And, like, this month is going to be jam-packed because we got two events this weekend. Next weekend we got... we got NXT Heat Wave and we got AEW Forbidden Door, and then the last weekend of the month we got the Clash in Paris. So things cool off a little bit in September, but the next 3 weeks there's a lot for you if you're interested in any of this stuff.
Good time to be wrestling fans, folks. That is going to do it for this episode of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, episode 257, inching closer to that milestone 300. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling, you can call it sports entertainment, you can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here till next week.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.